This is episode 30 of ParentCast, and we're talking about responsibilities. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I'm feeling like a million bucks today.
How come?
Million bucks. You want to know why?
Tell me.
Tom Brady's free. Tom Brady is free. The suspension is over. Deflategate can leave my existence. For those of you who don't know this, Tom Brady, the ever-present, unbelievable quarterback of the New England Patriots, was suspended for no reason. And it's just a bunch of crap. And they brought it to federal court, and Tom Brady won. And the federal judge said, hey, NFL, you're stupid. So guess what? Tom Brady's no longer suspended.
Aww.
So my day has been made.
Good for you and good for Tom Brady. And the haters are going to hate.
Hey, Taylor Swift.
Haters going to hate.
If I had the sound, I'd cue it up right now.
So today we are going to be talking about responsibilities. And I bet you Tom Brady has had his fair share of figuring out family responsibilities. He and Giselle have a couple of kids.
They do.
And, you know, Blake and I are having this conversation a couple nights ago while we were lying in bed and we were talking about how life is different now with a second child. So, you know, through that, we were talking about what it was like for us during having one child when we had our first kid and how things have changed with our second. And we were like, oh my God, we feel like we're coming upon an epiphany. We need to talk to people about this.
This would be an amazing ParentCast episode.
So that's going to be what it's about. It's about responsibilities after you have children, whether it's your first or second.
Or third. Or even really how you divvy them up.
Exactly.
Between the parents.
Without getting upset with one another. Too often.
And trust me, you're going to get upset with each other.
So we'll get into this in a little bit. But before we do, we need to tell you a story to let you understand how human we are. And this segment is called the Judgment Free Zone.
Boom. All right. So this week it's my turn. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
The other day I was changing Reese and it was great. It was great because he was like all wet and he was just a mess and he was upset and he was crying and he was being annoying. And I changed him. He was all dry and he says, okay, all dry, all better. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Science, bitch.
Okay.
You know, based off of Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad.
Wow. We should have had a disclaimer.
And it's you know, it's Jesse's famous line from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I hear him say, science, bitch.
I'm speechless right now.
And I haven't told you that story yet.
No.
And he said,
and
science.
I know why.
He said, science, bitch.
Okay. I know what he said.
And I thought that was the best thing
I've heard. I'm having a hard time not judging you.
It's the judgment-free zone because it was great. It was really funny.
This is why you didn't tell me until now, because this is like, this is safe space.
It's the safe zone.
This is the safe zone of where I can't judge you.
It's judgment-free.
Wow.
And it was really cool. It was really funny. And I had him say it again just because I was like, oh my God, did that just happen?
Wow.
And he said it again. And he hasn't said it since, which is great. But I laughed my tushy off.
I like this tushy.
Tushy,
after
you've
sworn now three
times.
Well,
come on now. Whatever. It's female dog. It was hysterical. So, yeah, my kid said science, bitch.
Oh, fourth.
Don't judge me. You want to get into the show, my love?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Immediately. So, first and foremost, you're going to be hearing little Felicity. She is 3 months old. She's going to be cooing. She's found her voice. And boy, does she have a lot to say.
Well, she won't be saying science, bitch.
You're done.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
You are cut up. This is not the judgment-free zone.
Okay, all right. We're no longer in the judgment-free zone.
You are out of it, buddy. Yeah, so, but she's talking up a storm, so you will hear her cooing and making all sorts of noises. But that's what three-month-olds do, so it's pretty exciting. Anyway, so today's topic is about the responsibilities. We're talking particularly about couples who are together while they have a child. So, and just how that can affect your relationship with one another and how it can put a real strain. So I found this like piece of study. You know how studies go. You're like, who the hell wrote this? But anyway, I kind of believe it. So this study from the Relationship Research Institute in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound fantastic?
Yes, it does.
They said that about 2/3 of couples see the quality of their relationship drop within 3 years of the birth of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because conflict increases and there's little time for adult conversation and sex and emotional distance can develop. And you know what? I believe it, guys. Because being a parent is hard. It's hard work. It is beautiful. Like when people ask me right now, hey, Mary, how is it having two kids? I say it is beautiful chaos. Mm-hmm. Because it is. There are moments where I am just so overwhelmed with love and just pure joy mm-hmm. that I could cry. And then there are other moments where I am so tired. I've been hearing someone scream. I got puked on after I finally took a shower after 4 days. Blake and I might be like, what's for dinner? I don't know. What's for dinner? I don't know. I don't know. Well, we at least have to feed the kids and then we can go hungry and we'll figure things out. Like, it's really hard.
Yes.
It's hard when you are pushed to the max. You don't have sleep. You're living with these people. Whether it's your partner or your children, you can't get away. You can't escape. It's not like a job that you're like, oh my gosh, today was a really tough day at work, but I'm gonna go home and sleep it off, and tomorrow's a new day. You don't really get to do that. You don't, because you're staying home, and if your kid's not sleeping all night, you're really not sleeping anything off. So I can see how 2/3 of relationships can really, really suffer. I wouldn't be surprised if that number was higher.
Yeah, this is in my opinion, this is the hardest point in your life. I mean, barring other things, like if you have a terminal illness or whatever, if you're just living your everyday life and you don't have like a car accident that you've been in or whatever, this is it. When you're in the thick of it, you're in the middle of everything. You got mortgage you got to pay. You got car bills you got to pay. You got kids that you got to take care of. You got your house has got to be taken care of. All these things, they clutter up your day. And then by the time you're done with just the stuff that you're supposed to do by the end of the day, it's like 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell do I do now?
Well, it's tough because it should be like the happiest time of your life. But really, you know, for me right now, especially here I am holding this newborn. My life is feeding and changing diapers mm-hmm. and figuring out sleep and then feeding and changing diapers and figuring out sleep. Oh, and then I have a toddler. So that's also feeding and changing diapers and figuring out sleep.
And some little Einsteins in the middle.
You know, and reading him books and teaching him colors. And it's a lot. It's a lot. I think, you know, when you have your first kid, it's a lot. You're learning everything. So Blake and I, as I said, we had this conversation about how our lives are different responsibility-wise now that we've had the second kid. And we wanted to discuss what it was like for us with our responsibilities and kind of how we felt towards each other after our first kid and mm-hmm. how things have now changed with our second. And giving a little bit of like, oh, look at us. We're so wise now. Had we the ability to go back in time and talk to our early first parent selves, we would have given them a few tips and maybe we would have listened and maybe wouldn't have. So if you are a first time parent, if you're pregnant or if you do have just one child, maybe something that we say will resonate and you'll be able to look at it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, basically, Blake and I were talking about how I felt like I was in charge of Reese.
Yep.
You know, granted, I was breastfeeding, so I solely was in charge of feedings. And he was with me throughout the day, and Blake was at work. And Blake kind of had this little routine where he would work all day, and then he would come home, and he would then take his phone and go to the bathroom for a good half hour, possibly 45 minutes.
Calm down. It's not that long.
I would see you at 5 for a second. You would give me a kiss, and then I wouldn't see until maybe 5:30.
Oh.
It's true.
5:20.
Honey.
5:20.
I love you. but so, and he told me, that's my decompression time. You know, I need that. And I used to get really mad because I thought, your drive home should have been your decompression time. I have had this baby stuck to me and I love him. I love this baby. But I need someone to hold this baby for me because I need some space in my body. I just need to go pee. I haven't been able to pee unless I was wearing a baby. And that's an experience, guys, if you haven't done that yet. You know, so I almost felt bitter. Because I didn't get to have that. It was just, it was expected. And finally, I had to tell Blake, you know what? When you come home from work, I actually need you to take him for 20 minutes. Like the first thing you do. And if you need to go to the bathroom, like really you go to the bathroom, not go in the bathroom / Facebook. If you need to go and do a quick pee, do it. And then come and grab the baby for me for 20 minutes because I'm going bonkers. And I think that anyone who is staying home with a newborn, they really need that release because even if it's just 20 minutes of freedom, go for a walk, lay down in your bed without the baby next to you, take a shower, go outside and call your best friend. Just don't touch the baby. Don't look at the baby. Yeah. Don't have the baby anywhere around you. It'll be 20 minutes will be the best reset button for you. That will be just like I was saying earlier about how you need the night's sleep to refresh and start anew. Honest to God, 20 minutes will make you feel like that.
I think the problem is I wasn't lying when I was saying it was decompression time. It is. I'm at work all day. I'm dealing with high pressure situations. And not to say that you aren't at home, but it's different. And I have to be able to come home. I'm driving home. I totally agree. That is like music time. That is partially decompression time. But I'm still focused because I'm still driving. I got to make sure that no one's colliding into me. I just need time to get into my house, turn my brain off for 5 to 10 minutes, and then turn on dad mode because I'm not in dad mode all day. And it's hard to go from work mode dealing with employees and dealing with real estate agents and whatever you're dealing with. It's hard to go from that to all of a sudden being like, okay, give me the baby and let's go feed him and crying and the burping and the up and down and the diapers. It's not easy for someone, whoever is working, whether it's a woman or a man, it's the transition's hard. So you do need that decompression time, whether it's for 5 minutes or, as Mario was saying, 40 minutes, which it wasn't, by the way. It wasn't 40 minutes.
I'm going to time your next bathroom break.
You should. I think the real issue with me and the thing that I ended up finding out was when you said to me, Blake, I just need to get this baby away from me.
I didn't word it properly. That's one of the things we realized during our conversation the other night is that in the beginning, you felt... this is what it was. You said that quite often I would ask you to do things. Hold the baby. Change the baby's diaper, please.
I know what you mean. So you would say like, oh, burp the baby. Burp the baby. And this is in the middle of the night.
I would ask nicely, could you burp the baby, please?
Yeah, and it's in the middle of the night. And let's just say it's 2 a.m. And Reese was a mother. So he was crying all the time. And it was a little bit of a different situation. But Mary would feed him, and she'd be up. She'd be sitting up, feeding him. I'd be in bed next to her, and I don't mind burping the baby. I don't mind doing anything. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. But she'd feed the baby. He's right in the position that he's supposed to be in to be burped, and she's like, can you burp the baby? And I'm looking at Mary and not saying anything, but I'm looking at her saying, why? Why are we going through this whole transition process? The kid's happy. He's drunk. He's not crying. He's right in your hands right now. He's basically on your shoulder. Just burp the kid. Why do we need to do the whole transition and the get up and the possible crying and all that? For what?
And so, mind you, this is 2 years later that Blake and I are now having this conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he thought it was busy work. He thought it was me being like, I'm going to make Blake touch this baby.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I always felt, which was I always felt like I was just being told to do something just because I was being told to do it. Like, oh, he's not with the baby all day, or he's not attached to the baby, or he's not breastfeeding all day, so I'm just going to make him do this. And it felt like I was being mothered a little bit, and it pissed me off.
Like, and now, But like you that's how you felt. And luckily you never said anything because, oh my God.
No, I knew better.
Had you said, exactly.
Yeah, I knew better.
I would have had some crazy town on you with my hormones being what they were. But now 2 years later, we were talking about it. And I said, Blake, the reason I had to ask you to do that is because I needed a minute without this child on me. You know, we bed shared with Reese and he was stuck to my body 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I was baby wearing him, trying to get him to be quiet with his colic, whether it was just to let him sleep, he would sleep next to me, whether I was breastfeeding, he was stuck to my body. That little 98.6, you know, degree thing.
Furnace.
Yes, it was on me constantly. And so I just needed a break. I just needed a moment where it was like, oh, this 12-pound weight was lifted off of me. And also in regards to breastfeeding and burping, it puts you to sleep sometimes as a mom. I don't know. Breastfeeding.
Okay.
It something about it feels just so good. But it makes the baby drunk.
That sounds weird.
It does sound weird, but it's something hormonally and something magical that happens. You know, it makes the baby comfy, but it also makes the mom comfy. And it allows us to go right back to sleep. But sometimes I can tell that my kid needs to burp. And I am just so tired.
Yeah.
That this natural drunk that not only took over my baby, but now has taken over me, has made it so I don't even think I can hold him up. And if you can hold him up to burp him, I can lay down and go back to sleep a little bit, 1 minute sooner. But there's just no way that I could. And it's funny because I didn't know how to put that into words.
Mm-hmm.
When it was our first kid. And I can see how you must have thought I was just trying to keep you busy or force you to be involved with the kid.
Yeah, well, it would get me a little upset because, you know, I'd be doing whatever. And let's just say this wasn't in the middle of the night this time. I would be, you know, like reading the paper, or I would be on watching television, or I'd be doing something around the house, and all of a sudden I'd get Blake birth the baby. And God help me, I just felt like that was something that I couldn't handle. If you tell me, Blake, take the baby because I need him away from me for just 2 seconds so I can be a human for 2 seconds, that makes sense to me. As a guy, it gives me purpose. It gives me like, okay, listen, men, if you're listening, especially if your wife or your spouse or whatever is breastfeeding, you are not going to have the kind of connection to that baby that the mother is going to have. It's just a matter of truth. I'm not saying that men shouldn't handle babies. It's just the connection between the mother and the baby. Baby between like 1 and like, I'd say like 5 months, especially 1 through 3 months. That is just something that's special that you just don't have quite yet. And as a man, I always felt like that way. I was there to do whatever I could do to help the process. I remember when we were talking about it, I was saying, I just wanted to move the chains. But we'll bring it back to Tom Brady. Tom Brady just goes out there and he moves the chains.
I don't know what that means, move the chains. I'm picturing Marley from from the Christmas Carol.
No. You know how you have first down, the first down's every 10 yards?
You're talking about that chain thing that the guys have that's
yes.
Like neon.
So yeah, the neon chain thing, right?
Yeah.
So they measured 10 yards by chains.
And then they put it up to the ball and they were like, you're 1 inch short, sucker.
Yeah, right. Okay. So when you get the first down, the other phrase for that, it's moving the chains. You're moving whatever I got to do to just get my life to survive and get my first down so I can get another day going. I'm just moving the chains. I will do that because that's what I'm there for.
Well, here's a question though. And I know a lot of mothers suffer from this. Why is it our responsibility? Like, why do we feel like we need to ask you to burp the baby? Because I know quite frequently, and this still even happens with our second kid, that I will say, hey, can you do me a favor and give the baby a bath? And I think about it, I'm like, why is that a favor to me? Why am I asking, can you do me a favor?
Well, I don't have a specific answer for that. I will say that I feel like also women have a more innate nature about parenting than guys do.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while. And I'm only speaking from my perspective, from what I've seen from couples that surround us here. it took me a while to learn how to be a dad and learn how to care for somebody else and learn how to brush the teeth. And I don't know why. That's just the way that it happened. Now, I will say that when the baby was born, I did all of a sudden something in my brain flipped. Like all of a sudden I realized I was a dad. And I knew that I had more to my life than just myself now. It was something that was bigger than me. So that is kind of a complete, I would say, turnaround from what I was saying earlier. But the everyday process, dad's got to learn that stuff. And I think women just have a better connection to it.
So I think what it comes down to, when we were talking about these responsibilities and how I have felt like pretty much all of the responsibilities are on me when it comes to the newborn baby. I think number one, you and your partner need to talk, even in the pregnancy time, honestly, in the pregnancy time, I would talk as soon as you possibly can about working together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because there's a whole household to run.
Yep.
And it's still got to keep on running, but now you're throwing a newborn into the mix. And frequently when a mother's home on maternity leave, it's almost just kind of thought you're going to be the one that's taking care of the baby. Yep. And you're going to be the one that's taking care of the
house.
Well,
especially if you're breastfeeding. I think that's, if you're breastfeeding, it's not taking care of the baby. It's more like you're going to be attached to that baby because you're breastfeeding all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I will say that a woman, the mother, has a better chance to soothe the child, the baby. If they're crying like a freak, if they're crying left and right, the mother has a better chance to soothe the baby than the father because she has the ability to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And that is a soothing thing for the baby. Guys don't have that.
Yeah, so maybe what can be done is, you know, you as parents can have a conversation and try to have it when you're both calm. Try to have it maybe on a Sunday morning when there's no witching hour and sit down and say, all right, let's figure out what chores need to be done on a daily basis. And let's figure out ideally who would do what. And don't worry about it being like, I'm going to get half of these chores and you're going to get half of these chores. Mm-hmm. Just honestly sit down and say, what would be best for our family? What would be best for our sanity?
Yeah, what am I capable of? Like, yeah. I know for me, I'm not capable of laundry. I hate laundry.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. So I don't mind putting it in. But taking it out and folding it and putting it away all out of the crap, I hate it. And the same thing goes with like food. I like cooking, but on my own time. I don't like cooking under pressure. I don't like cooking. I don't like meal planning.
Shopping.
I don't like food shopping.
You would be a terrible housewife.
But I'm not capable of that. But I'm capable of cleaning the house. I'm capable of putting things away. I'm capable of fixing things. I'm capable of doing those other things that I could do. So if someone says, Blake, I need you to take out the trash every day. Okay, boom, I can do that. I know I can, it doesn't bother me. But if you told me, Blake, you need to cook every day, it's just going to be a fight.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a physical, like, it's not going to be like a conversational fight, but it's going to be a fight for me to be like, oh God, I need to cook today, and I'd blow it off, and it'd be a problem. And then it would cause those fights.
So here I am with a newborn, and I sure as heck don't feel like cooking, and it's become an issue.
Yeah.
You know, not only do we have the responsibilities of this baby, but you have the responsibilities of your entire household. So sit down and honestly think, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? Neither Blake nor I are very good in the kitchen. I always tell people we are not Betty Crocker. And so what we've done is we took a plunge and we ordered a ton of pre-made meals. They're through this company called Pre-Made Paleo. They're healthy meals and they're frozen and they got delivered to our house and we just put them in our chest freezer and we take, you know, 7 out a week and that is dinner unless we do something different. If we order out or if we go out or if maybe someone brings over food, great. But now there's no pressure and there's no kind of like conflict, mm-hmm. you know, because really it was like every single day Blake would come home and I'd be like, so what do you want to do for dinner? And he would ask me the same question. And here we are hungry. We've got a crying toddler, a crying baby, and we're both hungry.
Yep.
And it just wasn't working. Same thing with laundry. Blake does not like to do his laundry, and laundry is not an option for not doing it when you have kids because they poop through the. I think there was one day that Fool City like pooped through like three of her outfits. So I don't like laundry either. I hate laundry as well. I mean, there are some people that do like laundry. God bless them. But I felt like I was mothering Blake by doing his laundry. I could handle my own laundry. I could handle our two kids' laundry, but I was getting mad. I was actually getting mad when I would put Blake's laundry in because I was like, he is a grown man. Why doesn't he do his own laundry? Why doesn't he care to do his own laundry? Why doesn't he even try to do his own laundry? And I realized I was getting mad at him about something stupid like laundry. You know, and whether it's that or whether it's diapers or whatever. So I asked him a couple of times. And we've just decided that Blake's laundry gets sent out and gets washed, dried, and folded. And it's an expense that we've had to make, and that money is coming from something else that Blake would have liked to spend it on. But, you know, bad. You need to eliminate stupid conflict, all right? Yep. You need to rethink your goals. If, for me, I need this baby to be away from me every once in a while. So when Blake's home, he does diapers, and he and I've talked about this, and it's not that he's just Mr. I want to keep you busy and force you to bond with the baby. It's something that Blake can do. He can't breastfeed. He can change diapers, and it gives me a moment to be without the baby.
Yeah.
Because the baby should not be solely my responsibility. Does the baby have an easier time with me? You bet. But she's not going to get any better about bonding with people if she's stuck with just me.
That's correct.
So,
well, and let me say this. I think as it relates to kids and their responsibilities, you need to have a baseline. You need to have a baseline rule so that you know what you're getting yourself into. Like the baseline rule for Mary and I was, she's in charge of what goes in the kid and I'm in charge of what comes out of the kid. And that just made sense for us. Now, it could be anything that you want. Like it could be, oh, you do midnight feedings from 10 to 1 in the morning, and I do 1 in the morning to 4 in the morning. Whatever your baseline is, start with that, because then you can at least grow out of that. You know what I mean? You can grow out of it and then start finding your own strengths and responsibilities that you're good at so that you don't mind doing them. For example, like right now, we have our two children. Now, I know that I'm pretty much in charge of Reese, our son. I know that I'm pretty much in charge of him, whether it's feeding him or changing his diaper or getting him ready in the morning or getting him to sleep, getting up in the middle of the night when he has night terrors, which happens often and it sucks horribly. But I know that, okay, I'm going to go take care of Reese. Now, I remember when we had Reese, one of the things was, when he got up in the middle of the night, which happened often, I would be the one to go get him. And it happened every single night, multiple times a night. And it was me getting up every single time. And I remember looking over at Mary as she was sleeping. And I remember thinking, okay, she needs sleep. She's a mom. She's with him all day. It's tough on her. But what the F, bro? Like, can't you just get up once, please, and go get this kid? And I would get mad. I would get frustrated because why the hell am I doing this the whole time? I need sleep too. But now when Reese gets up, I go get him without question because Mary right now has her hands full with Felicity. She's already got stuff going on. Is she getting up a little bit more often with Felicity to feed her and whatever? Yes. But is Mary getting up at 6 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning with Reese and staying up with them all throughout the night, or getting them in the middle of night terrors, no, she's not. So it does kind of even out in the end, which to me makes sense. So if you have your baseline, I know I'm going to take care of Reese, and Mary knows that she's going to take care of Felicity for the most part. I mean, obviously we do have interchangeable things, like I change the diapers and all that other crap. But if you have your baseline, you can grow from there.
I agree. Know what your responsibilities are and what you're good at, and then both of you will also feel a sense of accomplishment, mm-hmm. too. Because, yes, you're waking up in the middle of the night, but you also have said multiple times that your relationship now with our two-year-old son has just expanded. And that time in the morning, granted it's early, but it's really special time for the two of you.
Yeah.
And you get to bond. And that is really important for both parents to feel like having a kid isn't a job per se, but that it's a relationship. And you need to find ways to help further that. So, for example, now that Felicity's getting older, it might be a good idea that you start taking the kids on walks. Like Blake started baby wearing a bit more now, just because we want Felicity, the baby, to get used to his smell, to get used to the way that he holds her. And it's not always easy. I mean, even if you're the breastfeeding mother, or you know what I mean, the birth mother, it's like it is not always easy to bond with a baby. Sometimes they are just fussy little devils.
Yep.
But you have to find ways to spend that quality time so that you can feel good about yourself
coming,
as a parent.
Coming from my perspective, I suppose, I feel like the most important thing is that for the mother to tell their spouse, listen, there's a reason why I need you to hold this baby. There's a reason why I need you to burp the baby. There's a reason why I need you to change the diaper. There's a reason why I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And the reason is because I need to be human. Mm-hmm. I need to get away from this kid. I need her off. I need this furnace off of my body. I need to feel like I don't have pee and poop and spit up and dried milk and all this. I need to feel like I don't have this on top of my body anymore, because that, again, is purpose. That is something that a guy can do, because that's what they're there for. They're there to move the chains, to just survive the day. And whatever I need to do to help facilitate that, I will do it. Now, if your spouse isn't willing to do those things, that is something that is completely different. If your spouse isn't willing to do those things to help you out because...
No. Not to help you out. To help the family out.
Okay, to
once
help
again,
the family out. Yeah, you're
this
right.
This isn't, don't help me. And that's the words that need to change. It should no longer
help
be,
us.
Can you help me? Yep. It should be, can you help the baby?
Well, I would say help the family.
Yeah.
Help the family overall. Because it is helping you. It is helping the baby. And it is helping me. It's helping me as the father get used to the baby a little bit more. Because the problem that I think a lot of mothers have is like, oh, my spouse doesn't know how to be a dad. Not a good dad. Makes the wrong decisions. Makes poor decisions. Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe they're just different decisions. Maybe they're not the same exact thing that you would do. You know what I mean?
But you got to give them that space. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I have a couple of girlfriends who say that they don't want to leave their husband alone with the baby because they don't trust their husband to know what the right thing is to do. And I
understand that too, by the way.
Yeah. My response to them is, yeah, don't go away for vacation for a week and leave your baby with your untrained husband. but go out for an hour. You know, leave and give him space to learn, because he is going to hold the baby differently. He is going to do the nighttime ritual differently. And that's kind of cool. You know, is he going to mess up, in your opinion? Probably. Like, I know that if I did not remind Blake every single night to brush Reese's teeth, that it wouldn't happen.
It probably wouldn't happen.
And I have just said, you know what, Mary? Suck it up. Rather than being nagging, you can either kindly remind Blake, or you can do something cute like, oh, Reese, you're going to go brush your teeth. If he doesn't, I'm just going to brush his teeth in the morning. And maybe I'll find ways, but you just don't. Dad's not going to kill the kid. I'll tell you that. Just you're going out for a night with your girlfriends will make him learn how to do some things. And the more practice he gets, the more he's going to figure it out. Like, I left Blake alone with Felicity and Reese for about an hour and 20 minutes yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had to. Okay. He needs to learn how to parent two kids. He doesn't know how to right now. And that's because I don't give him the opportunity to. I have the opportunity every day. So I've learned what works for me, what doesn't. Blake either is going to have to be told by me step by step, or he's just going to have to jump in the deep end and learn how to swim. And if you do it at small increments like that, like an hour and a half, and you're nearby, a phone call away, God forbid something happens, you are right there, they're going to learn and they're going to do a good job. or maybe a mediocre job, but the kids will still be alive and you will have some sanity. And dad will also get a bit of self-confidence, like, wow, I got both kids to stop crying.
I can do this. Yeah, like, I could tell you this. If Mary left for 2 weeks and left me alone with Reese and said...
And Felicity?
No. Let me just finish. Reese. Okay. Let me just finish. If she left me alone with just Reese and said, I need you to take care of Reese. I'm going to India for 2 weeks with Felicity. We're gonna go on the Eat, Pray, Love tour. I'd be like, all right, awesome. Nailed it. I can do this. I can bang this out. No problem, because I get Reese. I know him. I understand this. I understand what's going on in his brain. I know all of his sounds. I know his looks. I know everything about him because he's my kid. I love him and I hang out with him. The only reason why I know that is because I've spent time with him and I've taken the responsibilities with him that I've taken, because that's what we had to do. We had to do that to move the chains. If she did that with Reese and Felicity, I would die.
You would have to call the nanny.
No. I'd be calling in the National Guard, because I'd freak out. I'd be calling your mother. I'd be calling the nanny. I'd call my dad. I'd call my sisters. I'd call the National Guard. I'd call the president. I'd call all of them, because I just wouldn't be able to do it. That's because I just haven't had the time to allow myself to get used to both of them at the same time.
So what should new parents do? Or even veteran parents that are finding this strain where one parent feels like the child is all of my responsibility.
Yeah, well,
and I don't.
My reflections on what was happening with Reese and what is currently happening with Felicity is, you need to be honest. You need to be honest with your partner, but most of all, you need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with yourself about what you're good at, what you're not good at. And then you need to be able to communicate that to your spouse. You know, if you cannot communicate those things to your spouse, again, that's another issue. That's something that you may need some kind of help. You know, you may need a therapist or some kind of moderator or whatever. You need something to help you communicate that to them. Maybe it's your mother-in-law. Maybe you tell your mother-in-law, "Oh my God, I need help with Mary because of X, Y, and Z." And you know Mary better than I do, I suppose. So can you help me? Maybe that's a way to go about it. If you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law, I don't know. But whatever you got, that's what I would do. But you got to be honest. Because if you're not honest and you can't communicate about these responsibilities, you're already taking a step backward.
Well, the tough thing is that you might not know how to be honest. Like, I didn't know how to put this into words until now, 2 years later. So I'm hoping that maybe if this is a feeling that you have, that you're like, gosh, why won't my partner help me? Why won't my partner on his own accord come on up and say, hey,
you know what
it
reminds me of?
Baby?
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It reminds me of the movie The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn.
Yes.
When she's like, I want you to want to help me with the dishes.
Yes.
You know?
That's exactly
And Vince Vaughn's like, why would I want to help you do the dishes? The dishes suck. I'd rather play PlayStation. What are we talking about?
Yep.
I don't want to do the dishes. However, she's turning around and saying, it's not about the dishes. It's wanting to help me.
Yeah.
To do the dishes.
So
how do you get past that?
Yeah.
How do you get, well, first watch The Breakup. Then you'll get a good baseline. But that's why you need to listen to Paracast, because we can help you with this,
I suppose. And you need to say, maybe that's the right wording for you. You know, maybe you can say, this is just like another household chore, but it's a kid, but it's a fun thing, I swear. Chores are not fun. But you can say, I feel like I'm taking on so much.
Yeah, it's too much.
I need a break. I know that you come home. And, you know, to be honest, Blake's gotten now back into his half hour bathroom break as soon as he gets home. And it sucks, because I have in my head, yay, Blake's coming home at 5. Oh, shoot. It's more like I'll see him at 5:30. Mm-hmm. But we're starting to get into a groove where maybe he takes over the kids that at 5:30. And maybe then I get a break from 5:30 to 6, mm-hmm, or whatever. I mean, maybe now is just when I'm able to even say it. Hey, Blake, I don't like that you have a bathroom break at 5 o'clock. You know, it's finding those words, but you need to say it and try to find your truth. You know, why don't you like that? Is it because you're upset with them, or is it honestly just because you need a break?
Yeah, and it could be a little bit of both. I would say that do not give them or give your spouse tasks because you're upset with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can read through that.
Yep.
And I did. I have. And it alienates them. It makes them feel like they're second-class citizens. And they're not. They're not. They're there to help. They're there to help the family. But they're not there to do busy work because you just feel like doling it out. That sucks. That feels like a teacher just doling out, homework for the day because you feel like it.
And if there's something that they really, really hate doing, you can either try to work together or maybe you can swap for different chores. You know, the witching hour sucks. And maybe baby does really, really well with me mm-hmm. because I can just put her on my boob. but maybe what that means is that Blake needs to take over for feeding our 2-year-old at that point.
Yep.
And not have decompressed time when he thinks he can, but really say, okay, there's a lot of chores that need to be done right now, and Mary's hands are full, you know? And I need to... It's one of the great things about having 2 kids is because you have 2 kids, it's like, if both kids are with one parent, that's not really fair. see what you can do. Or if both kids are with one parent, maybe you should be doing something that also helps out in the household.
Yeah.
You know, so just kind of find different ways to help your household. Don't see it as helping one other parent. It's not, you're not helping that parent. You're helping the household, just like you said, Blake.
Yeah. In the end, it's not about busy work. It's not about, in this podcast, it's kind of, it's a little bit misnamed a little bit this episode about responsibilities, because we're not telling you, you know, this person needs to do X, Y, and Z, and that person needs to do X, Y, and Z. As my kid cries, it's not about that. It's about how do you approach this? How do you even approach the idea of responsibilities? And then communicating that to your spouse, right? And each responsibility is different for each parent. It's a give and take. It's totally an elastic situation, left and right, every single day. There are some things that are black and white. For example, she's in charge of what goes in, I'm in charge of what comes out. Again, I'm in charge of Reese when he gets up in the middle of the night. Those things are black and white. But all the other things in between, as long as you have some black and white things, the elastic things of, oh God, the decompression time, or the diaper time, or I'm sick, or I don't feel good right now, can you please hold on to the baby? Those things are elastic, and those things come as necessary. And that's the way I think I would end up describing it to new parents, which is find the things that you know you're capable of doing.
And that you like to do.
And be elastic about the things that you aren't necessarily really good about. Not saying that you have to do them. And as for a dad, there are a lot of things that I do that I can't stand doing. There are a lot of things that I don't want to do. But I do them because I know that if I don't do them, either one, they're never going to get done, or two, it's going to be a big freaking fight. And to me, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth the fight.
Well, yeah.
And that's picking and choosing your battles too, right? It's picking. It's knowing, like, Mary is a complete freaking mess. I'm not outing her here. I think I've said this before on the podcast. Mary is probably the messiest person I've ever met in my life.
Yes.
Whether it's the car or the bedroom. For a while there, I didn't see the floor in our bedroom for probably like 2 or 3 months. I didn't see the floor. And then one day I decided, you know what? F this. I'm the one that usually organizes these things. I'm usually the one. And I was holding off because I was pissed off. I'm like, no, F that. I'm not going to do this. She's the one who created this mess. She's the one who's got to get herself out of it. And the problem was, it just wasn't happening. So finally, I realized, I got to do it. So I spent 4 hours or 5.5 hours one day just cleaning the room because that's what I needed to do. And was I pissed off in the middle of doing it? You're damn right. But I wasn't going to argue about it because I knew, what's the point, man? She's just a messy person, and I signed up for that. And you got to know who your spouse is. You got to know what they're good at. and you got to accept it. I think a lot of the times and a lot of things that I'm hearing lately are that people have expectations, and expectations are great. And they want their husband or they want their wife to be something, either that they're not or that they feel like they can change. I'm going to make this person do X, Y, and Z because that's what they need to do. That's what I want them to do. And sometimes, hey, maybe that works. I don't know. But for the most part, it doesn't. And all it does is create tension that you don't need. Dumb things to do to make someone do something they're not capable of doing.
It's tough. It's really tough because, trust me, hormones are a mess right now. Sleep schedule is all out of control. You've got these babies running around or crying, and it's so easy just to get frustrated and think to yourself, I have to do everything. I have to do everything around here. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't that other person help? You know, and lots of fights can get out of it. And my suggestion to you is to find that time, find that place when you are calm and say, hey, can we talk about divvying up some responsibilities? What jobs do you like to do?
Yeah.
You know, what is important that you think that you can do? And try to train yourself, instead of like barking orders, to say, can you play with the baby so I can cook? Can you cook so that I can take care of the kids?
Yep.
Can you take the kids for a walk because I'm exhausted?
Yep.
Yeah, any of these things, rather than saying, you don't do anything, so you need to hold this baby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think that the term that you use, barking orders, the barking orders thing, that don't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work because, listen, I'm a grown man. I'm 32 years old. I don't need someone telling me, you need to do this because you don't do X, Y, and Z. It's like, man, no, I may not do X, Y, and Z, but I do a whole lot of other crap around this house that you don't necessarily do. I don't ask you to do. I don't need you to do, but I'm not getting credit for it. I'm not. Why?
There's no like little stars. That's,
you know, yeah.
It stinks when you're an adult because you remember that chore chart? There we go.
There you go.
Tongue twister. Chore chart that you would have as a kid. And it's like, did you make your bed? Did you do your homework? And you get stickers for each thing. And you don't necessarily get that when you're an adult. Nobody's sitting there being like, wow, you washed the floor. Mm-hmm. You ordered groceries. Great job. You don't get that. So try to thank each other for doing those little things because it does feel good. But here's another thing that I've had to say recently to myself, even. When things get a little stressful and I get upset, say about the toothbrushing or about the laundry, when I'm not upset, I sit down and I think, is this something I'm really going to care about in 5 years from now?
Yeah, that is a huge, huge, big, great piece of advice.
Am I going to honestly care that Blake would always forget to brush Reese's teeth? When, yeah, it's a little bit more work for me. I have to remember to brush them or try to brush them earlier, or I have to say it every time. But is it something in 5-10 years from now that I'm going to be like, oh, God, you know what I hate? I hated in 2015 when Blake wouldn't brush. No, you're not going to care. I mean, maybe if Reese ends up having like terrible cavities, but I'm trying to brush his teeth to avoid that. Or the laundry. Okay, am I going to, in 10 years from now, really, really hate, and I mean hate, that Blake didn't do his laundry?
Is it? Here's the question. Is it worth your time? Is it worth creating
friction
in your relationship that could end up leading to something much larger? Like, those are small things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I usually use the term a small change. It's small change. What are we talking about, really? What are we really talking about here? Now, you take a bunch of that small change crap, right? And you start adding it, and you add it, and you add it. And now, you don't have a little anthill anymore. Now, you got the Adirondacks.
Yes, and it's all full of small things.
It's full of small change, and now it's become the U.S. Department of Treasury. And then that leads to much, much bigger real problems, things that all of a sudden... You've let the small change add up so much that you don't even know how to communicate to your spouse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're so pissed off, like your gas tank is so low that once a little bit of gas comes out of the gas tank, you're out of gas now. You can't go any further. and there's no build-up time anymore. You can't allow yourself to be cool because you're so frayed. You're so on edge over these stupid responsibilities or over something stupid that, what the hell are we really talking about here?
Because if you're married, for example, you are hopefully married to this person for life, and you're going to have these kids for maybe 17 more years, 18 more years, maybe. Okay, maybe your kid's already older when you're listening to this. But after that, they're gone. They're going to college. They're traveling the world. They might have their own families, their own friends. I mean, heck, some of you might be sitting there being like, oh, that's so sad. You might not even see your kids that much once they turn 11. Some of these kids hate being home and they just want to go to the mall or stay at Timmy's house next door. So really, the person that you got to worry about is, especially if you're married, is your partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if it's this stupid little stuff, like, I could be mad at Reese because he's a jerk sometimes and throws his food on the floor on purpose. On purpose. He'll look right at me and he'll throw his food on the floor. And I sit there and I'm like, grr. And then I forget about it because it was a small thing. So why can't I do that for my partner?
Exactly.
You know, it's a small thing. And I'm not saying that I am just sucking it all up.
No, because you're not.
No. I mean, are we paying for Blake's laundry to get washed right now? Yes. It's not any extra work for me. And that's why I think it's working for us. Yes, it's an expense and we're figuring that out. But the other options were I would do his laundry and I would get mad, or I would just ignore it and he was smelly. And I kind of let him be smelly for a month or two. And I just wanted to see, like, as an experiment, like, would he care that he's smelly? The answer is no. And finally, I began to care that he was smelly because, you know, he smelled at my house. So that's how we...
Listen, I wasn't like the dirty kid in...
You were like that Peanuts character.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wasn't the dirty kid in Peanuts. Let's calm down. No, I was not.
I may need to have witnesses.
And listen, I know it's easy for us as we're sitting here in our studio and you're listening to us as we're talking about, hey, you got to let things go and it's this great big world and everything's okay. Yes, it's really easy for us to sit here and say that, and it's easy for you to listen to it. But when you're in the thick of it and you're in the middle of it and you're arguing about something or whatever, I just want you to ask yourself, is this worth it? Is this really, really worth it? You don't have to remember all the little tidbits of information you've gotten here or anything. You just need to, when you find yourself in the middle of an argument over some stupid responsibility, over something, whatever, is this worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this worth the small change?
And if you can, hire it out. If it's little things like your laundry, or if you hate food shopping, do Peapod. Have your groceries delivered. Like, find ways to help alleviate it if it's something that both of you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you just need to let go of being perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
Because maybe, no one's perfect, man.
Maybe you're going to eat peanut butter and jelly tonight because neither of you had time because the kids were crazy. Or maybe your house is going to be a mess. And then once you have a moment, you need to really plan either date nights, but let's be honest, date nights are expensive and sometimes you can't get a sitter. Just even 20 minutes for you to just hang out. Don't have the iPhones out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have the kid be asleep and just sit down and go outside. Go outside and talk to one
go
another.
Go in the backyard.
Go anywhere, but just enjoy each other's company and don't talk about the babies. Don't talk about the household chores. Don't talk about any of that stuff. Talk about something fun.
Yep.
If you can. And it's going to be hard sometimes, but you need to find that time just to be you, to connect that way. Now, all of this is easy for us to say.
Yep, like we said.
It is hard to do. And you know what? It's even harder to do when one person is down in the dumps, whether that's postpartum depression, male postpartum depression, there is such a thing, or just having really, really a rough time, even if it's not like clinically postpartum depression. When your partner is really that deep down and you know that they are fragile, you may have to take one for the team, mm-hmm. and take more responsibilities than you normally do.
Yeah, I remember reading about this and really talking to a couples therapist about this, because Mary and I have seen a couples therapist. Trust me, it's a good thing. You should do it. It's not because we weren't good at being married. It's just because sometimes you need a little extra help. One of the times when Mary was suffering from postpartum depression, the therapist said, Blake, you need to lead out. You need to lead out, man. You got to act the way you think you want her to act. and you got to act the way that best serves you guys. And yeah, you might be pissed off, and yeah, oh my God, I'm the one doing all the work and this and that. Yep, you're right. You really are right. You're doing all the work. But you're married, and you give and take. It's elastic, and you got to lead out.
And is it something in 5 years you're going to be still mad about?
No.
Probably not.
Nah, hell no.
Okay, is it something even in 4 weeks you'll be mad about? Probably not. So if you do have a loved one that is going through a tough time, you got to take on a bit more. You got to carry the load a bit more, but it's okay.
All right, my love, you ready to get into the wines of the week?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. All right, so I think it's my turn this week, and I will tell you my first wine of the week is that my kid's starting to repeat what I say.
Yep.
I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
You're going to have to wash your mouth out with soap. That's what you're going to need.
He said the word science, bitch, and I don't know what I'm going to do because I...
I've been warning you about this forever.
I do not have the cleanest mouth on the planet. As a matter of fact, I would even argue that it may be the dirtiest mouth on the planet.
I might second that.
XO concurs. So, I don't want to change who I am because that's me, man. That's me.
Well, maybe you just have to make you be you after 7 p.m. Sorry. My win of the week is that my son has manners all of a sudden. It is so cute. He says thank you without being prompted. If he like bumps into you, he'll say, sorry, mama.
Oh, that was great, the time at the beach.
Oh my gosh, he bumped into some woman and he said, sorry. I absolutely love it. It makes me excited. And one time he even said, excuse me, I'm farting. I've trained him well.
I can't believe that actually happened.
Yep.
Oh my God.
That's a win. My parent pick of the week this week goes to a very expensive item, ladies and gentlemen. Very expensive. It's my Apple Watch. So a lot of people are like, is the Apple Watch worth it? It was, Blake gave it to me as my birthday / push present / Mother's Day / every single holiday present forever because they're expensive. But I love my Apple Watch because a lot of the apps that I use, whether it's to track my fitness when I walk the kids or, oh my gosh, she just pooped so loud.
You probably heard that on the recording.
I'm holding her. I hope it's not on me. So anyway, my Apple Watch, my favorite baby app, Baby Connect, is also on it. But the reason I really love having my Apple Watch is because I don't have my iPhone in my hand the majority of the time of the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm spending time with my kids and I don't have the phone out. Because when I had my phone and say someone would text me and I would respond back, I then would maybe go to Facebook or I'd go to Instagram or I would dabble somewhere else. And then before I knew it, 20 minutes has flown by and I just spent time in front of my kid unnecessarily on a device. Whereas on the iPhone, I can respond to text messages. I can quickly see things. It's kind of like the abridged version. And if something is serious, I will then go to my phone and respond with an email. Or, I mean, you can even answer phone calls on it. It's pretty cool, but it keeps you away from all the really distracting technology. And for that, it is one of my favorite devices right now.
Dexter me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, before we close out the show, we wanted to remind you, or actually let you know, that episode 30, this episode that you're listening to of ParentCast, is brought to you by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/tallmommedia. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And today, for you, your free book that you will get if you sign up through audibletrial.com/tallmommedia, your free book is The Leftovers by Tom Perata. And I recommend...
Well, that's the one we would recommend. You can get any book.
Yeah, you get any book, really. But I recommend that you do The Leftovers by Tom Perata. The reason why I say that is because it's turned into a television show on HBO. And it will be premiering on October 4th. So read the book that upon which this television show is based on, and you will get it for free if you do the audibletrial.com/tallmommedia website.
If you want to stay in touch with us, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our handles on all of them are the same. It is ParentCast. No spaces, just ParentCast.
Or if you like the email machine, you can get us at parentcast@gmail.com.
Check out our other episodes. We have so many episodes of ParentCast. You can either check us out on iTunes or Stitcher, or heck, go to our website. You can learn about sleep training, about feeding your child baby-led weaning, about breastfeeding, you name it. We've got tons of different topics. It's parentcastpodcast.com. And while you're on the website, click on the support button on the top of the page. You can find tons of ways to support ParentCast. One of them is Patreon, where you can send a donation our way, whether it's $1, $2, or, hey, $125 billion. We would be honored to accept anything you are able to give. Well, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so incredibly much for tuning into ParentCast. Blake, what do we have in store next week?
Next week, we have a very special episode dedicated to nanny shares.
Nanny shares? You don't know what it is? Well, I guess you're just going to have to listen to find out what it is. It's awesome, and so is ParentCast. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Mary.
My name is Blake.
And we'll check in with you next time.